Welcome to Blue Water. If you're visiting, special aloha to you. Nice to have you here. We're going to spend a little time at the end of the service, particularly trying to heal people who have come with sicknesses or injuries that need some tending. We get a lot of good stories that way, and it's just a great way for the people of God to serve the community. Had a great one this week. At our Ohana group, heard a testimony from a guy who's a little too shy to stand up and share it in front of the crowd, but he came up for prayer about a health issue that he was recently diagnosed with. My wife was praying for him, and in the middle of the prayer, she just felt led to pray for his eyes. And then after service, he got in his car, and his glasses wouldn't work because his prescription, his nearsightedness, was healed. So he's just been carrying his glasses because if he gets stopped by a cop, his license said he needs to wear them while driving, but he can't wear them anymore because his eyes, it makes his eyes blurry. We don't know if he got healed from the thing that he originally came up to get healed for. I think he needs to go back to the doctor to check that, but collateral blessing. And so you've come today just to sort of hang out in the midst of people who are following hard after Jesus. You might just get some, you know, just some splash on blessing, and that would be fantastic. As I was in the splash zone, yeah. As we were worshiping there, I'm just overcome with the sense that one of the things that the Spirit is doing in our midst this morning is just relieving people of just the pressures, anxieties, and I don't know, fears, I guess, that you brought in, whether you're physically sick or not. I think there are probably a number of us here who feel sick because of various anxieties in life. And oddly, what the Lord said to me while we were worshiping is not that he's going to relieve you of your pressure, but that he was going to equalize it. I don't know if I can explain this, but I saw, you know, you get too much pressure built up in you, and you feel like you want to burst, unless you get pressure coming on you, and then it equalizes and you feel perfectly fine. Everybody understand that principle? It's the principle that makes your ears pop in airplanes. It's like when the atmosphere is a different pressure than your insides. Then you feel sick. You feel blocked up, and I felt the Lord saying to me that what he really wanted to do was to release a lot of people into bigger spaces or deeper water, where your pressure just kind of gets equalized. Like you're being driven in life, you want more significance, more purpose, a little more joy, a little more strength, but you just can't find a way to get a grip on it. I'm mixing my analogies terribly. But I just want to start this morning just by praying that you feel balanced again, and that you don't feel like you're leaning to one side or something. I feel like the Lord just wants to do some general life correction, and then we'll get on to healing the joints and the hearts and the lungs and stuff like that. So Father God, I do pray as we begin this morning that your Holy Spirit would rest upon this crowd and restore some balance to souls, to spirits, who have just been knocked off kilter. I just bless you, brothers and sisters, to feel the gravity of the Lord pressing upon you. I think that's what it is. Feel the gravity of God pressing upon you so that you don't feel like you're drifting around space anymore. That's what it is. Some of you just need to take a moment. And that thing that's been pressing on your heart, that itch that's been driving your soul, the hand of the Lord is upon you. The pressure of the Lord is upon you. The gravity of God is upon you. That feels better. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, let's exhort one another in good Christian fashion, okay? I want you to turn to the people to your left, to your right, in front of you, behind you. I want you to look them intensely in the eye, and I want you to say, me! Go ahead. Let's go do that. Me. I was a little worried that this church was too selfless to pull that off. No, we did that really well. Well done. All right, so here's your warm-up question. Get your brain juices flowing for our little sermonette this morning. Hear me. Think about this for 8 seconds. I'll take a few answers. What do you think is happening here right now? What do you think is happening here right now? Don't take 8 seconds and think about it. What's happening here right now? What's happening here? Little awareness game. Expectation is happening here. Ooh, that's it. That's one of those answers you want to unpack because it matters what you're expecting. Charlene, what you got? Opportunity is happening here. Both these answers have to do with potential, which is interesting. Yes, sir.
Discovery
is happening here. Discovery. I like that word, discovery. Taking the cover off of things. What you got me? Battle is happening here. Wow, that's interesting. What you got, Kaika?
Healing
is happening here. Yeah, maybe already getting flowing. You stole her answer, Samuel. Was there a hand over here? Yes.
Gathering for one purpose.
Oh, that's interesting. A gathering, but for one purpose, sort of a unity of mission sort of thing. That's a nice feeling. Did we see a hand over here? Compassion is happening here. Of course, Rochelle says that. She's like, she's our Miss Aloha. What you got, Mint?
Preparation
is happening here. Excellent. One more. Who's got the best answer? You've been holding out. Who's got it? Yes. Sean. Love is happening here. There you go. That is, yeah. When Jesus showed up on planet Earth 2,000 years ago, he started his public ministry and just sort of announced himself and just sort of said, hey, this is what's going on. And his thesis statement, as you'll know if you've studied the Gospels, was the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The kingdom of heaven is happening here now. It's at hand, meaning you could grab it. It's now immediate. And no one had ever said that before in the same way, and it got the crowds really curious. And then for the rest of his time on earth, he went about demonstrating that the kingdom of heaven was happening here. He brought the order of heaven to the chaos of the world, and you know all the great stories are about that. There's no one sick in heaven, so when Jesus brought the order of heaven to the chaos of the world, sick people got well. There's nobody poor in heaven, right? So when Jesus brought the order of heaven to the chaos of the world, he provided for everyone, you know, even if he had to do it miraculously, like with the miracles of the loaves and the fishes, you know, where he multiplied a little bit of food and fed thousands. Nobody in heaven is bothered by evil spirits or afflictions. And so when Jesus brought the order of heaven to the chaos of the world, people were freed of their demons and restored to their right mind and their right state. Nobody in heaven is ignorant of the true love, the character of God. And so when Jesus brought the order of heaven, the kingdom of heaven, to the chaos of the world, people were shown the love of the Father in a new way. And it was revolutionary and it was new, the way that he talked about God as a Father. And it started a great faith movement that, although its beginnings were tiny and dubious and a little bit disreputable, with just some beggar dude named Jesus who was killed at the end of a few years for his troubles and a bunch of illiterate fishermen, it took over. It spread all the way around the world, and that's why we are here this morning. What amazed me most, perhaps, about the way Jesus brought the kingdom of heaven, he made it happening here, is that he did it in such a way that he encouraged folks to participate. And if you read the Jesus stories in the Bible, you see just all this action and people jumping in and having experiences. I'm not totally sure how he did it, but if you hung out with Jesus, you got the feeling, you definitely got the feeling that something was happening here. He just broadcast that wherever he went. I want to read a very short story from the 9th chapter of the Gospel of Matthew this morning. We'll just sort of read through this, and then we'll do some kingdom ministry. Is that an angel knocking, or is that one of our 3-year-olds? Yeah. I don't know what happens back there during service, but the kids seem happy when they get out. So, yeah, probably having way more fun than we are. We've been going through the Sermon on the Mount, which is Matthew 5 through 7. So this story comes from just a little past the Sermon on the Mount, when Jesus is really starting his itinerant ministry. He's traveling around the area of Israel and its environs. And he had this entourage around him. You know, like I say, it felt like a movement, like action was happening. Pick this up toward the end of Matthew chapter 9. Jesus is traveling through a region that included his hometown. As Jesus went on from there, 2 blind men followed him, calling out, "Have mercy on us, Son of David." They called him Son of David because he was of the tribe of David. Have mercy on us. 2 blind guys are calling out, "Have mercy on us." What do you think they want? They want to see, right? They've heard that Jesus does miracles. And they can't push through the crowd being blind. They can't see where they're going. So they just scream into the top of their lungs, "Have mercy on us, have mercy on us." In another account of this story, we see that people in the crowd were telling them to shut up because they were so noisy and distracting. Be quiet, be quiet. But when Jesus had gone indoors, the blind man came to him. They were brought to him, evidently. And he asked them, "Do you believe that I am able to do this?" Which was his warm-up question. "Yes, Lord," they replied. Then he touched their eyes and said, "According to your faith, it will be done to you." One of 9 or 10 times in the Gospels when Jesus says something like that, "Your faith makes you well." "According to your faith, will it be done to you?" And their sight was restored. Then Jesus warned them sternly, "See that no one knows about this." He was still trying to keep it chill. But they went out and spread the news about him all over the region, as one does when one gets one's eyes restored. Here's what bugs me about this passage. Whenever you read a Bible story, it's good to ask yourself, what bugs me about this story? Because if you let something bug you, then you're on the road to learning. So these guys, they're blind beggars, and they're screaming for Jesus as he walks past. And obviously, they're screaming for a miracle. They're making a public nuisance of themselves, trying to get attention from the miracle worker because they want a miracle. And they're going for it at the top of their lungs. And yet, when they get brought to Jesus, he asks them, "Do you believe I'm able to do this?" Does that make any sense to you? I mean, like, if they didn't believe he was able to do this, would they have been screaming in the middle of a crowd to get his attention? I mean, like, obviously, they believe that Jesus can do something, right? Well, is this just one of those incredibly human interactions in the gospel? I'm always amazed at how good Jesus was with the humans. He asked them this question for a reason. It's not just rhetorical. I mean, they believe that he could do it, but did they believe something was happening right here? You know, there's just little adjustment. Like, you can believe in God distantly. You can believe in things theoretically. You can believe in God enough to beg for his help. But that's a little bit different than sort of believing that something is happening right here. You know what I mean? And Jesus was trying to spark that little bit of faith in them. And Jesus would do stuff like this over and over in the Gospels. It is a mistake to think that the way we get miracles from God is to beg God for miracles. That's a mistake. That is not how he structured things. The way he structured things was God partners with us to get things done on planet Earth. God partners with us to get things done on planet Earth. The point of life is not that you die healthy. The point of life is that you learn to trust God, and then when you die, you get eternal life. And so God has arranged these battles, these challenges, in such a way that when we find a place of trust, immediate trust, like stuff is happening right here sort of trust, when we find that place, then the kingdom of heaven, the order of heaven, can flow a bit more freely. Right? We feel the gravity of God. Things balance. Things equilibrate. And we find things like health and provision. It never means that life is perfect, because we know that as soon as the battles stop, we get lazy. We stop trusting. So we partner with God by fighting the fights, you know, with faith and with trust. And Jesus has a way of provoking that in people. Yeah, you believe, but like, do you believe now? I mean, like, are we doing this? Are we doing this? And that's kind of what he was saying. And then when they said, yes, Lord, there was enough spark in there that he felt like he could continue with the rest of the action. And then just to make it really clear, he says, according to your faith, you know, let it be done to you. And the power of God is always available, but it flows best in an atmosphere of faith. And Jesus had an atmosphere of faith around him. And he was turning these guys from beggars into faith partners. From beggars into faith partners. From screaming for mercy to trusting God enough to kind of work with them, to do something amazing. You see the shift? And that's kind of why we have these healing services, is just to encourage all of us, or to help one another kind of make that shift from being people who believe in God enough to beg to people who believe in God enough to work it, you know, to invest it, to up and go for it, to partner with him so that we grow into what we are supposed to be. Now, the good news is that we just have to do our best, yeah, because nobody's faith is perfect. And, you know, you don't need perfect faith to get a miracle from God, because the fact is he is merciful. So it's dynamic, it's human, there are no formulas and rules. Occasionally in Scripture, Jesus heals dead people. He healed Lazarus from the dead, he raised the son of the widow back to life. So my question is this: how much faith does a dead person have? Probably not a ton. On the upside, not a lot of doubt. But, you know, not much faith either. You know, they're sort of neutral. Maybe if we're going to resurrect the dead, it helps to have a lot of faith in the environment, the people around you, in the crowd. And we actually see Jesus try to spark faith in the crowd when he tried to, like, heal the dead girl in Mark chapter 5. We're all helping each other, is what I'm saying. And none of us are perfect, but maybe collectively, you know, as we pursue one thing together, we can pull off things in an atmosphere of trust and action that we would not be able to pull off on our own under normal circumstances as we go through life a bit too off kilter. One of my favorite stories about faith comes from a few chapters later, Matthew 17, another version in Mark 9, where a father brings the sick little boy to Jesus, and Jesus says, well, anything is possible for him who believes. And the father says, I believe. Help my unbelief, which is a prayer that I pray a lot. None of us are perfect believers. But as we say at Blue Water, faith means trying. Faith means trying. Anybody who try is making their belief do what it's supposed to do. That's a great kingdom motto by which to live. Let's try some healing. We've built this as a special healing service. I just want to heal some people in the room today. We've seen some good healing stories lately. We'll get some physical victories, some emotional victories. and some spiritual victories. Father God, I pray that you would have mercy on us. Many of us have come this morning crying out to you for a little help, a little physical help, maybe a little situational help. Have mercy on us, Lord. Call us close to you. Call us close to you, we pray. Come, Lord. For those of you who have come with something that you want healed and you're thinking, well, I don't really know if this scene is for me, then I would encourage you to say something really spiritual like, me! Why, I very, very cleverly had you practice that at the beginning of the service because that's just how my devious little mind works. So let's say it again, one, two, three.
Me.
All right, now we're all in the game together. And what do you think is happening right here? I just think that the Lord is merciful and present, and the kingdom of heaven is at hand, as it has been, though these 2,000 years, and we can help each other get here. So how many of you have come this morning with a need for some sort of physical healing in your bodies? If you could raise your hand, assuming that you can raise your hands, let me see it. All right, how many of you are physically sick in such a way which if it were immediately healed, you could immediately tell? Ah, fewer of you. All right, let's get you out the way first. So if, If you have some condition which, if it were immediately healed, you could immediately tell, just stand up where you are. Just do it that way. Just stand up where you are. Just stand up where you are. And so now there are more of you. See, it's good I did it this way. Blue Water Veterans, if you're around these people, just gather around. You're the ministry team. And those of you who are on healing assignment today, just spread yourself out a little bit. So here's what we're going to do. Those of you who are the healers, just a second, you're going to ask this person that you want to bless. They're going to lay a hand on your shoulder, and they're just going to ask the Lord to bless you with healing. No big deal. They're going to speak a little healing power into your body. No big deal. In just a second, you can ask these people for a one-sentence medical description of whatever the thing is, and they're going to say, oh, I have a migraine, or I have a broken arm, or something like that. And then you're going to say, be healed in Jesus' name, or something to that effect. Yeah? So let me pray over us, and then we'll do that. In the name of Jesus, brothers and sisters, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. I bless you according to your faith. I bless you according to your willingness to try. I bless that faith in Jesus' name. I bless it. Be released in your body in the name of the Lord. Just receive the gravity of God upon your shoulders now and receive healing in your bodies. In the name of Jesus, the condition lifts. Even now, the condition lifts. God bless you. Even now, the grace of God. Your body wants to be well. Everybody does. I bless your body to do what it does naturally. Grace of God. Freedom from God. All right, healers, ask them for a one-sentence description. Not much talking. You don't need a lot of description. Just tell them what hurts. Yeah, it's great. All right. That should be plenty. All right, and minister, release. You veteran Blue Waters or healing team members, Go ahead and just bless them with healing. Go for it. They're already in a good place. If you're visiting Blue Water for the first time, services aren't always this messy, but they are always a bit interesting.